Welcome to my Plant Medicine Journey podcast. This is your host, Danny Rios Romero. And before we get started, I do have an announcement. I'll be finishing out this year my final retreat in San Diego, California, December 8th through the 10th. So if this is something that interests you, you can go to myplantmedicinejourney.com and learn more about that. But before you do that, and I'm happy that you're tuning in because I'm very excited to interview my brother, Armando, the Urban Alchemist. And I'll just share briefly here. You know, I've met Armando in the space of bettering ourselves in the gym, bettering our physical bodies. And we've had, you know, very short, brief interactions. I don't think we ever really had the opportunity to connect, but we've been just following each other on the social medias. And, you know, got the opportunity to be watching your evolution from the outside, you know, watching you just put yourself out there, speak your truth, speak what's coming through your consciousness. And then little by little, I saw the evolution, you stepping into coaching, you transitioning out of work. And when I'm watching that, when I'm watching somebody go through so much transformation, which is, you know, behavior change, the way I see it, I know they're doing the work. I know they're showing up for themselves. And yeah, man, I've enjoyed watching your evolution, and you know, to the point where my mom asked me about you. She's like, "Hey, you did like this thing on Instagram with Armando. Who's that guy?" And I told her a little bit about you. So it's super cool that you know, people in my hemisphere are hearing about you. And so I wanted to bring you here, brother, and to hear your story, hear your words, hear what you're all about. And you know, you're somebody who's out there coaching now, supporting people. And so for me, it's like, you know, I'm a big supporter of coaches. Like, I want people to know that there's support out there for them. And they just got to find somebody they connect with. So welcome, my man. Welcome to my Plant Medicine Journey podcast. How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. And after hearing this intro, it just gave me chills, bro. When you were talking about you know, your mom, and you know, I got curious. That's a big part of my coaching journey. Just being curious. I always been really curious. So the first thing that popped into my mind was like, wow, what do you see, right? Because pretty much on my own journey, I just follow my instinct. I just follow, you know, the flow. And I don't know how people perceive. And when I have the chance to listen to them and to say, you know, I see this or that on you, it just widens my perspective about you know, the impact that just sharing my journey can make for others.
Yeah, and you've been showing up, man. You've been so consistent. You know, every time I hop on Instagram, you're like, you pop in with something new to share, right? And a new message, a new insight, and you know, it's from what I see, I see an empowered person. For people to go out there and share. Just share, period. You're empowered, you know, and it's been my experience for people to be empowered. They have to do a lot of healing. And for people to create and like leave their work, like to create, you have to be really empowered. So everything that I'm seeing from you is like, I see an empowered man who's looking to create alignment in their life. And you know, the most, you know, I get to, as a coach, know how beautiful it is to support other people in their processes. You know, it's like such a rewarding thing to do. So yeah, man, I'm excited for you. But for you, what, you know, we're talking about, you know, the where you're at right now, right? Guiding and supporting other people in their life experience. but, you know, that's a hero's journey on itself. So you've had to do a lot of work, gain enough competency to be able to say, hey, I'm ready to support others in their journey. What has your own journey looked like to get to that moment? Like what have been some of those moments? If you could tell us a little bit about your origin story, who you are, so the audience gets a little bit more idea of you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. I mean, I was born and raised in Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico. Currently, I reside with my family, my beautiful wife, and my awesome teenager boy. So Dante is the my son's name, and Marcela is my wife's name. I'm 45 years old, and like you said, you know, to be here and to be sharing this story, my story and my vision and mission, it has taken a lot of healing. It has taken more than 15 years of going within. Although I will admit that the first 10 years I was searching outside of me. I was searching, you know, it all started with getting to a peak in my life. I already had, you know, I already married, had the kid, had the brand new house, the cars, at work.
You checked off all the lists.
All of them, man. All of them. And then it got to the point where I was like, wait a minute, why I still feel like that? You know, like, bleep. Yeah. I don't know if we can curse here, but
we can curse.
Okay. let's keep it clean for the audiences, but as much as I can. I do like to, you know, throw one word or two there. We can do it in Spanish too. yeah, man, I was like, I got to that point where I was like, what is going on? You know, society and everybody, you know, movies or TV tells you that once you check all those boxes, you should be there. You should be like feeling complete. And for me, it wasn't. So I started to dig deeper into, the first thing I did was to search different religions. I was raised up Catholic, just like most of Mexico population. And I actually got married under the church of you know. But it didn't provide me what I was looking for. Actually, I always had questions about everything. I remember when I was getting ready to receive my first communion, you know, you get to the catecismo, which is are the classes to get enrolled in that, or, you know, to be able to get your first communion. And I was the guy who was always like, you know, the little kid was like, hi, I have a question. And mm-hmm. I remember the lady telling me, you have to stop asking questions. I mean, just follow what I'm telling you, right? So I've been always really curious. I've always been that kind of kid that, you know, wants adventure in their life. And TV for me was the big thing, you know, growing up, mm-hmm. watching cartoons. The reason that I speak English right now, even though I, you know, I grew up in a border town, Tijuana is, mm-hmm. is border to San Diego, California. And but I did learn English through cartoons, you know, watching G.I. Joe and He-Man and Transformers and all of those 80s cartoons. I grew up mm-hmm. watching them, and that's how I started to learn English. And then, you know, after years and working here in San Diego, California, I got more comfortable talking in my second language, which is English. So right mm-hmm. now I'm living in, like I said, in San Diego, California. I've been working in the media industry for 25 years. Like you said, I recently left my job. It was like a dream job. It was the end of the loop because I had the chance to work with every major television station in Southern California. Starting with Univision, Telemundo, and then doing the crossover, going to CW, ABC. Then I went to LA with CBS, with Fox, and then finally NBC. But I got mm-hmm. to a point at the end of last year where I was like, you know what? My journey has taken me to this place where I feel that I need to align with my purpose. So I started with that thought, and then in March this year, 2023, I decided to leave my job, you know, the job that paid me the highest I would never even dream or dreamt when I was younger that I could be working in the United States, and that I pretty much again check all my boxes. Yeah. since I was a kid, you know. And I do believe that my journey that has taken me, like I said, more than 15 years, 16 years, I have five core components on it, the way I see my journey now. Mm-hmm. It involved healing. It involved accepting. It involved forgiving. It involved being grateful. And at the end, loving. Mm-hmm. So it didn't came like I had to heal everything in order to accept everything, in order to forget everything. No, it's, you know, during the journey, and you know this on your own journey and mm-hmm. by speaking with other people and the people that you assist, you know, it comes gradually. It comes, I always call it like opening doors, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say if I heal something from my childhood, that didn't close the deal. I needed to accept the fact that I had gone through that journey of healing. Mm-hmm. And that also took me to forgiving myself and forgiving others if I felt it like they did something to me. But then mm-hmm. I needed to forgive myself for all the time that I wasn't there for me. Mm-hmm. For all the time that I forgot the little Armando, you know, this 8-year-old Armando, who, you know, it was when I was 8 years old when everything started to really change in my life. My grandmother, my grandmother died. There was some abuse there, some mm-hmm. psychological, emotional, even sexual abuse there. That I feel comfortable right now talking because I see that there's a lot of people carrying with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And I want to be that beacon of light and to tell everyone that it's okay. Whatever happened to you back then, there's a way of you to connect with that kid, to really get out of that shadows and follow that light. So I hope this kind of like illustrates a little bit of what has been my journey. I mean, I grew up with an alcoholic dad. I saw how, you know, there were problems at home, you know, yelling and beating and all of that, that really, you know, for a long time, I just put it in the vault, you know, mm-hmm. and that bowl was armed with, you know, big shields of armor, you know, really thick ones that in the processes of those 15 years, I had to peel them as an onion. And that mm-hmm. took a lot of, you know, a lot of courage, a lot of going within. Mm-hmm. And big part of the process and where I am right now was the help of the grandmother, ayahuasca, 5 years ago. Everything started to speed up. Everything felt that, like I was aligning with my purpose. And mm-hmm. this is what it is right now, you know?
Beautiful. And, you know, what was it for you, you know, going from you checked off all the boxes, you got yourself in, like, a career beyond your imagination, and all that stuff, right? But when you started checking off the boxes and you realized that, you know, this wasn't like for me, what I experienced is like something was missing. That's because I went through the exact same thing. I got the degree, I, you know, got the house, the white picket fence, the business, checked off all the boxes. And then, yeah. I looked at my life. I looked at myself. I didn't like myself. I didn't like my life fully. I created a life that others told me and was going to be the life that I wanted. And so for me, it was my psychedelic experience and personal development before that that started like shaping me. But really, like your experience with ayahuasca, it was like fuel to the fire. It was like I was already in my process. And then once I added plant medicine to it, it's just like it just took off. But for you, was there a pivotal moment that you can recall on like when things shifted for you? Was there a moment that you can recall to?
I think it was that, man. I think it was, you know, growing up in Tijuana, I was, during my high school years, I was hanging out with back then, there was a big thing going on with the Narco Juniors. You know, So I had access to whatever substance I wanted to, but I never experienced that. It wasn't until I was in my mid-30s that I tried cannabis for the first time. So I grew up with a really kind of narrow mentality that came from a lot of judgment that basically my family transmitted to me, right? So I thought it was like, no, you know, only bad people do drugs or experience with, you know, plant medicine or stuff like that. And obviously, you know, once I started my journey going inwards, and I started meeting people that were using the tools that Mother Earth gave to us to pretty much take away all the clutter in front of us. So the pivotal time or moment for me was 2018, 11/11. Actually, I was thinking if I
anniversary is coming up.
Yeah, and it's a Saturday too. So I was thinking maybe I could visit the grandmother again just to connect with the medicine. But actually the first experience for me, even though I was the one who, you know, researched and found the person who assisted me in that journey, the first experience wasn't completely for me. It was for my wife. And I usually tell this story because it has been the most beautiful experience I ever seen with my eyes and felt it. My wife actually opened her wings in that first experience that we have with ayahuasca. And even the chaman said, wow, this is like the second time in my life that I've seen this. So, but what happened to me in the first experience was that it took the veil. You know, I saw that the time and in space, it isn't how I saw it, you know, my whole life. Mm-hmm. And it was just a welcoming, like a reception for me to say, you're in the right path and you are worthy of being here. And there's nothing more that you need to obtain to be here. It wasn't until my second experience that happened a few months later in March 2019, mm-hmm. where I got life showed me all the timeline from when I was, you know, little, mm-hmm. growing up, all the way to where I was, where I did felt that I was that rock star, and this was my story, and this was my journey, and I had to just live it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then my third time was 2020, and in that one, I took my friend, my very good friend Jorge, who was always there for me in my journey of you know, waking up. And mm-hmm. so after that, I took him, and that third experience was really mellow for me. In any of the experiences, I didn't purge. Wow. You know, I didn't purge. And I remember Cesar, my chairman, saying, and this happened in Tijuana. In Tijuana, Mexico, there's like 10 different facilitators. But he told me, hey, some people purge, some people don't. And it all depends on the work and the journey that you have taken before taking the medicine. So those 5 years ago, it was when everything started to speed up. I know it was the time, you know, it was 2018, getting closer to 2020. 2018, I went to work in LA, living by myself for the first time, even though I've been married for 15 years already. It was just a time for myself. It was a time to reflect. It was a time to connect with people outside of my network and people that really brought a lot of insight and a lot of light to my life. So I think that was the pivotal point for me. And, you know, along the journey, it wasn't just the 6 hours you're with the plant. It comes after that, you know. All the journey comes after, at least for me, it came after my experiences with ayahuasca. And it happens every day, man. Every day is an opportunity for me to keep growing, to treat, keep transforming my life. 6 months ago, the calling came to me of becoming a life coach, when before that, my definition of life coach was completely different. I was like, what? Life coach? What is that? You know, it sounded really outside of my spectrum. But then, you know, once I got into the certification, what really brought me was just to the self-confident. Being self-confident about myself, and just, you know, the last thing I did, and that happened like 2 weeks ago, I realized that I was still carrying a lot of shame and guilt. And something that happened during those days allowed me to see it. And then I was able to just literally see it like this, you know, like, what is this? Oh, it's guilt. Wait, it's shame also? All right. And then I said, okay. And it went like that. Literally, it went like seeing them from different perspectives, knowing why I was carrying them, why I was still carrying them after all the work that I'd done, and just being humble and being grateful about it, and just letting them go like. And the person who allowed myself to get into that moment was a coach. Actually, a coach who reached out to me all the way from Australia and said, you know what? Your name has been brought to me a couple of times, so I'm here to connect with you. So that was my big experience, knowing that coaching can really open a floodgate for you to tap inside and to really connect with yourself. So right now, I was telling you a little bit about, you know, how I see life. And we can go into that if you want.
I would love to hear that. Yeah. You know, because a lot of it when you were mentioning about, like the just in general, the plant medicine experience is so personal and unique to everybody. And what's so funny is, like, your second ceremony, where you had the opportunity to look at your entire timeline. I experienced something very, very, very similar to that, where it took me from like me being a child all the way up to like the moment where I was at. And it showed me all the challenging parts in my life and how now they're beautiful gifts. You know, like being an immigrant to the US, like I can be in so many rooms now. I can be a room full of Mexicans or Latinos, and like I pass by, no problem. I'm in a room with foreigners, international people, and I can be in those rooms. And it's like, what a gift to be able to connect with people from, you know, all over the world. And but to get to that, there was so much pain that happened. You know, there was so much that I imagine like you and I both endured that could be very similar in our experience. So like I'm still unfolding a lot of unpacking a lot of my first mushroom experience. And which is, you know, that opened up my heart center space to love, and love is infinite. So this work is infinite. Like I will never, you know, reach its limit. I will never get there because love is bigger than me. And so, yeah, as you were sharing that, that was my reflection. And, you know, alongside with the personal development, spiritual journey, plant medicine journey, to me, there's no difference. They're like, they're the same, but different in some aspects, but it's all the same rivers that all go to the same ocean that is all love, all consciousness, all of us are one. And my idea of what life is today is completely different than it was like, you know, 5-6 years ago. So yeah, brother, what, how are your views on life nowadays?
Yeah, I love what you just shared with us because there's a lot of relation. You know, our stories intersect in so many ways. I remember the first time that I met you was in Tijuana, and I was just getting into CrossFit, and then I met you. I connected with you again when I was already. Back then, I was living in Tijuana back then, the first time I met you. The second time, I was already living with my family here in the U.S. And
at Escudo, right? CrossFit Escudo?
Yeah, exactly, with Carlos. Yeah. So it's just beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, brother. For me, life right now, after like, you know, like I said, you know, going in different pathways and just expanding my tunnel vision a little bit more. I do see life right now as a video game. Like it's a video, like it's a video game. Actually, it's more like you know, that game Mario Brothers for me, where once you finish the whole game, you were starting again from level one, but everything is faster now. And because you already kind of like remember how was the journey you took, you know where to duck, you know where to jump, you know where you have more confidence in yourself. For me, I didn't grow up with video games at home. My cousins that live in the U.S., they were the ones who owned the Nintendo and the other, you know, consoles. So I remember being, I don't know, 8-9 years old, visiting them, usually during Christmas or the holidays. And when my cousin wasn't home, you know, if I got to his home and he wasn't there, I would just grab the remote control and try to go through every game that he had because I knew that once he got home, I was not going to be able to play that game. So in a way, I kind of, you know, throughout my life, I really thought that somebody was going to come. That first of all, I didn't deserve to have the remote control and to play my own game. But I also thought that even when I, you know, obviously to check all those boxes, I had to do something good, right? Mm-hmm. But even then, I thought that somebody was going to come and snatch the remote control out of my life and say, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, you're not worthy of that. And obviously that thinking was, because of all the trauma that I experienced as a kid. Right.
Yeah.
So now the way I see life is I actually finished the game. The moment I decided to leave my job, I exited that game. And not only did I just exit it and went like, okay, this is your game. I don't like it anymore. No, I kind of heard a voice saying, congratulations, you finished the game. And your biggest reward for finishing the game are your wife and your kid. Enjoy them. So for the past 8 months, this is what I've been doing, enjoying my life, enjoying my time, enjoying every part of my journey. I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple of times where I felt it scare again because, you know, the savings are slowly going down and down and down. So I need to start generating, you know, an income to live this life and this game. And then I remember, wait a minute, you're playing this same game now with the power of you holding the remote control, and you have the choice to go this way or that way. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. The way you're going to generate money is up to you. It doesn't have to be the way that other people told you that this game is played, because this is your game. And having a teenage son, he plays Roblox and Minecraft and all those new games. But I do know that in Minecraft, you can build your own worlds. And you can be either in survival mode or creative mode. So that's how I see my life now. Now, I trust that I have the remote control. I trust that I'm supported by the universe and that there's no wrong, you know?
There's just a lot.
Yeah, it is. And there's obviously, to get there's a lot of responsibility on each and every one of us to create the best version of our world. And mine is based in love. So, you know.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes I remind myself, what is the hurry? And, you know, before a few weeks ago, why are you doubting yourself? Now with the confident, you know, just knowing, just being connected in the here and now, my mind can wander a little bit, but the amount of thoughts coming into my mind has also decreased like 90%, bro. Because my mind was always thinking, even when I was sleeping, you know, in my worst moments, I was waking up with panic attacks, going to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. I mean, I've been through everything. And now I can look back and say, the reason I decided to go through that route, maybe it was because I wanted to learn and to experience all of those things so I can better help others in their journey.
Yeah, man, I 100% agree with you. It's, you know, and for me, like the way I see responsibility, it's we have the ability to respond. I no longer have this like moral obligation around responsibility. It's a choice. And so I chose if I'm going to guide people to live their lives from the heart, like I got to do it myself, you know? Like I gotta go through like if I want to live what my heart center wants, it's different than what society wants for me. It's different than maybe the ideas of what I grew up were taught to me. So it's, you know, when we're breaking our comfort zone, you know, it's uncomfortable. But the beautiful thing about human and we adapt, we're very adaptable, you know? And then if we take even a step more back or even take it to a higher state of consciousness, where we really talk about like the universe and the universe really having our back and, surrendering to life and life's unfolding. So, it's been you know, your journey is so similar to mine and to so many people that have, you know, because I see a lot of people that do the work and they just do the enough amount of work to make some corrections, but not a full transformation, right? Like for you to let go of the identity of your previous career, for you to say, you know what, I'm going to follow my dreams and make it work. You know, it's not everybody does that, right? Like some people will, you know, take on some, will do plant medicine and, you know, they'll heal a few things, but they may still go back to a job that they're unhappy with. They may still go back to things and aspects of their life that are still not fully alignment with them. And so what I, you know, what I hear and see from you is like, you took it like the step forward, like, you know, all in, right? And that's really, really beautiful to see, because it's, imagine if everybody did that. Imagine everybody in the world took it upon themselves to live a very fulfilling life, right? It's like, man, it'd be so great. But that to me is like, as you know, as cultures, as we're not quite there yet, right? Like we're not quite there yet, but it's possible. You know, I believe it. If those ideas exist in our consciousness, they can be real. You know, so yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. For you, you mentioned being in survival, being in creation. When you find yourself in states of survival where you're like, you know, focusing maybe on what you don't want to happen, maybe looking at the bank account too much, all the fears and insecurities may come up. Like, what is your process that you go through to being with survival or getting yourself out of survival? Like, what does that look like for you and getting yourself back into creation?
Sure. You know, first of all, I think in order to transform anything, it needs to come to the light. It needs to really, you need to bring whatever is stopping you or holding you back. In order to transform that, you have to bring it to the light. So I guess my process, whenever I feel that I'm going back to forgetting who I am and why I'm here, and just go back to the dream, you know, obviously because it's hard, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm always in the Shambhala and all of that. You know, sometimes I forget that I am in creative mode, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm in survival mode, I just take a moment to see, you know, what's going on right now? Why? How do I feel right now? Where is that coming from? And then I start to ask questions, you know, to myself. Back then, when I was in survival mode, bro, I had like plan A to Z, you know, literally.
Got it.
And then because my mind was always, you know, trying to create scenarios, not trying, it was like creating doomsday scenarios, you know, and then I had, supposedly I had a way out for that. That's why I had plan A, B, C, D, D. Now I don't have any additional plan. Whatever is happening right now is what's happening right now. So, so right now my process is, September. Let's go back to September. There were a lot of people before, you know, 2-3 people that I follow on social media that really show me that you could really go out of the job and just follow your dreams and your purpose, right? And because of the light that they're shining, it got me thinking, and that's how I got to the decision of to leave my job. And what was backing up is that I was able to sell a piece of land in Mexico. And I told the guy who bought it for me, hey, dude, I'm going to leave my job. I know you're a couple of payments ahead. Let me ask you just to pay me every single month, because with the money that you're giving me, that's how, you know, I pretty much live my life. September came, and the guy was like, you know what? Something happened, man, and I'm not going to be able to pay you this month. And that brought me back to that survival mode. And I was like, oh my God. And I started panicking. And I was like, how am I going to do it? And then I didn't want to go back to the way I used to think before and I used to act before. But I noticed that it was there because that's what I've been doing for so long that you go to those bad habits again, right? So yeah. So what really happened is that I started to start creating like those alternatives for me. So the first thing I did was to call everyone in LA again and see if they needed, any help with their projects or going back. I didn't plan to go as a full timer, but yes, as a freelancer. And you know what happened? Nobody reached back to me. Nobody reached back to me. And I left my career on my top. You know, this year I won a couple, I'm seeing it right now, a couple of awards. And, you know, in every station that I was, you know, I was giving all my best, you know. So when nobody reached back to me, I saw that as a sign. I saw that as a, like, oh, so you're telling me that you're willing to go back to the place that you left because you knew that this wasn't your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started questioning and I was like, wait a minute. No, I already left that life. Maybe I need to just calm down and let the universe show me what I need to do, where I need to go, who I need to connect with. And I did that. Obviously, you know, this comes with all the tools that I've been getting from coaching, all the past experiences that I had. But pretty much for me, the process is just going inwards and having deep conversations with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just
beautiful.
Yeah, just being there, man. And right now I'm my best body. I see myself in the mirror and I go like, oh, dude, you know, like, I never look at me, at myself the way I do right now in the mirror. Obviously, you know, the ego wants to look a certain way or think that if I do this or if I look this way, I'm going to be better. But right now, my philosophy is I'm whole, complete, and resourceful. So, you know, what you see in front of you is what you get, bro.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. What an acceptance, right? Of self. It's so, so beautiful because it's such a simple thing. And yet, not a lot of people struggle with that, right? I energetically can feel it now when people are having like that doubt, you know, that, I can feel it because I was there, you know, I've been there. I've had the doubt. I've had, all of that. And, as you were sharing about, how, back in September, you reached out to people and you didn't get calls back. I imagine you experienced a lot of like restriction within your own body, you know, and like, a lot of that, like usually that's how, a lot of the work that I do with people is like connect to the feeling, connect to the emotion. Right. And cause that's in my experience, it's always going to give you the answer much quicker than what's in your head. Your head is the one that's trying to make meaning of your emotions. But really the emotions are there to be felt and experienced. That's what they're called, feelings. if there weren't feelings, they would be called thoughts, right? So it's been my experience that when we have this moments of contraction, that's when we get into survival mode. And oftentimes we like even physically can clam up. When people do that in life, and with like plant medicine, they usually, when they have bad trips, when they're like clinching, resisting the medicine, I see such the lessons and the experience of the plant medicine journey very like similar to life. The only difference is in the plant medicine, it's happening in the gross. It's happening like intensely fast in a short amount of time. And in life, it happens more subtle, right? It happens mm-hmm. more subtle. And this is why I believe people gain so much, because it's kind of like the Matrix when they plug that thing. It's like, all right, we're going to learn judo. Or, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, you're going through a lot in a short amount of time. And I've had that experience when people have what you call bad trips. It's typically they're resisting, like, you know, they all of a sudden a thought comes in, an image, and they want to like clam up, close down. For you, what has been your experience with the plant medicine world, and how does that relate to you to like everyday life? You know, because it's to me, you know, now there's nothing more natural, more human than being in those states, right? Like something that was so foreign to me, now it's like, it's the most common thing. Like, people should be doing ceremonies like often in their lives, right? It's such a part of our being. But yeah, brother, I would love to hear from you. Like, how does the plant medicine experience like relate to life?
Yeah. And I was listening to you, you know, describe your experience. And again, you know, there's a lot of connections between us. And I want to point out that I received the calls from Los Angeles a month after September, in October. And they were like, "Hey dude, we need you." And I was like, not anymore, because I already decided, you know, that this is the path that I feel comfortable, and this is my purpose. So going back to your question, dude, I see plant medicine as that bridge between the illusion and the reality. It takes mm-hmm. out that veil in front of you and allows you to see not only the physical world, but the spiritual world, and the place where we manifest all this stuff in this reality, in this dimension, you know, in the mm-hmm. dense 3D, right? For me, I haven't experienced with a lot of things. I've done shrooms, I've done cannabis, I've done gambo.
That's a lot of things, man.
Well, yeah, I know. No, but I hear a lot of people talk about, well, you know, in the US is more me coming from Mexico, and maybe people can think, oh, Mexico and Tijuana, wow, you know, there's a lot of narcos there and everything. But I see that here in the U.S., people experience with a lot of prescribed drugs and synthetic drugs and all that me, I didn't experience. And again, all of the stuff that I done it in the past 10 years, you know, from 35 to 45. Actually, the other day, I was talking to my wife. We have really good conversations, deep conversations. And what cannabis does for me is that it really connects me to who I truly am, right? Mm-hmm. I don't trip. I don't, you know, I don't get slushy or whatever. I just, you know, feel so alive. And I was asking her, like, why cannot be like this all the time? And she's like, well, you are this all the time. It's just that mm-hmm. you forgive that you are this powerful and you have this, you know, this light inside of you. So the way I see now my relationship with plant medicine is that it is there whenever I choose to use it, but I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So the dependency or the codependency, if you have a codependency with whatever it is, whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, it could be food, it could be people, it could be plant medicine, it could be whatever it is, you really don't need it. if you feel that you need it, you have to still continue your inner work and continue in that path, because you did mention earlier there's a lot of people that get that resistance with the plant, because the plant is showing them something that it's needed for them to continue. But fear either stops you or like propels you to go deeper or to keep going, right? So to get back to your question, bro, sorry.
Good, man.
Sometimes I go, you know, everywhere.
There's no clear structure to this podcast.
Yeah, so yeah.
We can go wherever we want, man.
That's the beauty when you're creating stuff, that you can do it that way, right? There's no right or wrong. There's just experiences. And those experiences either are going to teach you something or be a blessing, you know? And even when you're transforming and when you're learning something, because we're always a teacher and a student in each and every moment, right? So that's another thing that plant medicine is for me. You know, they're big teachers. They're there to take out all the chaos and all the suffering and all those things. And even if you feel that you're suffering in that experience, just leave it, you know? Be present, be there. Let it flow. Let it show you what it needs to show you.
Got it. You've mentioned you work with Gambo, with psilocybin, with ayahuasca. Cannabis. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, it's like every plant has a whole different energy, and it gives you a different thing. For example, the way I see Gambo, it gives you what you need. Like it will regulate you and it'll work with your peptides to give you what you need. Cannabis will enhance whatever it is. So when people say, oh, I feel a lot of anxiety with cannabis, it's like you've been anxious. Cannabis is just showing you.
Yeah.
And if you were happy, it would make you feel more happy. It just taps into that. You know, the way I see mushrooms, they're a connector. Like they connect to your inner child. They connect to your emotions. Yeah, like and you see what mushrooms do in nature. This mycelial network that connects, like it's the largest living organism that connects all the plants in the Amazon and nature, and they communicate, like transfer nutrients. Is super potent, right? So to me, it's like, well, yeah, it's a connector, because that's what I feel when I have like, when I have a psilocybin. It's way different than cannabis. Yeah. And then DMT or ayahuasca, I experience as an expander. Like I feel that instead of, you know, like with mushrooms, it connects you to it. I feel that whatever it is with ayahuasca, it makes it larger. So you're able to like feel it and work with it. So that's my general interpretation of the substances that you've named. And I know and this is something that, you know, there's always going to be a lot of similarities between people's experiences, but there's also going to be like complete different experiences. I've had, 8 sittings with, Yahe, which is a different culture from ayahuasca. Mm. And I've only not perched once. And I knew the medicine wanted me to take her with her on this last ceremony. And so just that, you know, you've had multiple sittings and zero purges. So for you, how can you describe to people, this, different energies or the lessons that you've learned? Cause to me, the lessons are all different. You know, it's like, mushrooms feel a little bit all over the place at times. Ayahuasca felt like more linear, you know, at times, but, yeah, for you, what, how has those energies been different? How have they been the same? And maybe what lessons have you taken from like each experience or each plant that you've had?
Ooh, that's a really, really good question. And before I get into that, I just noticed that maybe I'm projecting myself, but I didn't have combo. I had frappe.
Oh, my bad.
No. I did say that I had combo, and maybe it's because I want to experience that. I've seen other people that do it, and I'm like, you know what? I do feel that there's a connection that no, but I did. I didn't do combo. I did rappe in LA in a really, really nice setting back there.
Good old grandfather.
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult to really pinpoint, you know, the energies. But I was listening to you, and I do feel exactly, you know, what you described. You know, every one of those plants have a different energy, and obviously it's gonna involve a lot of how you're feeling in that moment. What part of the journey are you in? You know, what parts of yourself are there to uncover, discover, and transform, right? And I think in general, when I experience with any of those plants, the moment that I'm doing that, or what led to that, is just moments of wanting to keep pushing and to keep going deeper. And it comes not from the wanting, but it comes from the feeling. You know, it mm-hmm. comes from a calling, I guess, if I want to say it that way. Mm-hmm. And just in general, the lessons that have come from those experiences and experiences in general is that I don't need to acquire anything. I don't need to learn something new. I actually need to unlearn and to, you know, just like the analogy of the peeling the onion, it's just mm-hmm. taking away the clothes, you know, and being complete naked and vulnerable and not being afraid. Those are the lessons that have come from those experiences. Just, you know, and some of them have taken more than others. But when I'm in that moment, experiencing any type of plant, it's just being with me and not overthinking and not doubting and not, you know, whatever it's external from me, it dissipates, it goes away.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And you know, as you were sharing that, and reflecting back on our conversation from the beginning, like what you're doing, which is grabbing the controller of life, and you're now the conductor of your life, right? It's making that transition is not easy, right? It's not easy to your psyche. It's not easy to your pocket. It's not easy sometimes for the people around you in your life, you know, because, you know, oftentimes, you know, it sounds like, you know, you live in a very conscious household, like, you know, a very supportive household. But oftentimes people like, you know, let's talk about like the video game. I like to describe it sometimes like a movie. Mm. And you're a character in other people's movies, and then all of a sudden the character starts changing. People don't like change. The ego doesn't like change. For you, what have been some of those struggles with people in your life in making this transition? And if you haven't had any, amazing. But if you have had, like, what type of things have you done to you know, maybe put others at ease or make the transition smoother, because it's not easy, right? It's definitely not easy. I've done this like like 3, 4, 5 times in my life where I'm like, I'm going to just restart all over, you know? And every time I do so, you know, people now in my life, like, understand, like, that's kind of how I am. Like, they're like, oh, Danny's going to do what Danny does, you know? but it took some time for us to get there. How has been your experience, like, becoming a new character in the movie for other people's life, in the video game of other people's life, right? All of a sudden, Mario's not a plumber, what? Yeah. So how have you navigated that, and what has come up for you?
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful question. And you're right. It's not easy. It involves, you know, a lot from you. I've been lucky enough to, I've been 27 years with my partner, Marcela. And in those 27 years, obviously we're not the same person that we met, you know, at Senior Frogs. On a Sunday, right? Yeah. And I've been lucky enough that she was the first one who woke up, you know, and she was, she was there to support me in my journey. She was there to accept me the way I am. She was there to give me my space and to not trying to change me. It took a while for me to understand that. It was until the last 8 months that we got even deeper in our relationship. We have a podcast, of a couple's podcast together. And before we started that, we spoke about everything, you know? And there were hard conversations, deep conversations, but so rewarding.
So another level of intimacy is what
completely, bro. Yeah, yeah. Completely. And the beauty of it is that the more vulnerable you are and you allow yourself to be, and the more intimacy you create, will bring more, or a different level or a deeper level of more intimacy. Mm-hmm. So also I realized that I didn't know her. I had an idea of her from, you know, the moment I met her, and, you know, that image of her was mine. But then I got confronted by it, and I was like, wait a minute. If Marcela is showing you right now, if your wife is showing you right now who she really is, what about that person that you thought she was? There was a process of grieving, and I cried a whole day letting go of that image that I created of her in my mind. And this correlates with your question, because in order to keep transforming yourself and to keep in this path, you have to let go of this version of yourself in order to become a new version, a better version, a version where you're going to be more calm, where you're going to be in control, where you're going to be aligned. And also you mentioned the movie before, talking about the video game, because I'm big on movies and, you know, the media industry. Mm-hmm. I also got to that analogy of being a movie. But the thing is, in my movie back then, I was always the second actor, or, you know. And then I got to the point that I realized that I was not only the writer, the producer, the director, but I was, you know, and the costume and all those positions, collaborations that bring a movie to for us to see. I also became the leading actor. So the supporting actors, the supporting roles, I know they're there. I know that they're in their own journey, in their own movie, in their own path. And I'm happy to announce to the world that I accept that. And And now I see it with a lot of compassion. It's not about, before I used to think about, you know, if somebody was coming with a bad attitude or, you know, a bad experience or whatever, I used to, my spiritual ego, that I also went through that phase. My spiritual ego was telling me, oh my God, this guy or this girl needs so much work. You know, she or he needs so much to go through in order to understand what I believe and all that. And it transformed to, oh my God, what has happened to this person to let them speak about themselves this way or speak to others in this way or not being supporters of their own journey?
Right? Yeah.
So now I see it with that compassion, not of what you need to do or let go, but oh my God, your journey has been maybe really difficult. How can I serve you?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's that reminded me a lot of an experience I had with Wachuma. It took me back to a memory of childhood where I was being bullied. I was young. I didn't speak English. And like, it was just so painful to have that experience. And like, I remember not being able to like do or say anything about it. Like, I couldn't even really tell if they were making fun of me, but I knew they were, you know? Then I sat down with Wachuma a year or two later, and like something that I found about working with cactus, it's like if you look at a cactus, like if you look at it from this side, it's different than this side. Like it's, you know, and same thing with when you're working a specific moment, a story, when you consume that cactus, sometimes you can revisit a story and see it from a different angle. So the second time that I sat with Wachuma, I came back to the same story, and then I had the same experience that you described. Like, I instead of feeling my pain, I felt their pain. Like, who, what? And I started asking myself, like, what the heck happened in their life that they have to treat another kid like this? Because as a kid, I never did that. Like, I always was chill with people. Like, and so I started feeling this immense pain and love for them. And forgiveness, because like they're just children, you know, and I was just a child. And so, yeah, man, I, you know, it's empathy, love, acceptance, like a lot of the things that unfolded for you, have been very common for myself and for many people. So that's why I love to say, like, we're all just, you know, going on the same, a different river that all lead to the same ocean of like, you know, us as humans, you know, we're in some of the weirdest times that we've experienced in a bit, right? And it's yet quite normal. Like, you know, if we look back, we've done this before. It's not our first time going through this human experience. And we look at a lot of what's happening in the world. It's like the movie looks a little different, but yet it's all still the same. And at times it's very challenging to stay so positive, knowing that like the movie kind of replaces itself. It just looks a little bit different, right? It's like slavery, still not over. It's still happening in parts of the world. War, it's happening just like it was like pretty much in the brinks of like another world war, right? It's, we're not that different than 50 years ago. And so for me, I have accepted that this is how it is and this is how it will be, you know? And once I can be with that, now I can make a difference. Right now I can make a difference when before rejecting that idea and not being with it, I can't put light on it. You know, for me to put light on it, I have to accept the darkness. You mentioned a little bit about like dark and light. So for you, you know, how do you navigate the shadows? How do you navigate, you know, having to have like, you said 8 months ago you had you know, you got really vulnerable with your wife and so how do you go in your life navigating the shadows? Like, what is your process typically look like? How has it looked like in the past? How does that unfold for you?
Yeah, That is the part of the acceptance that I mentioned earlier. And acceptance for me means knowing my darkest pieces, and also the brightest and the most beautiful ones. And I was having a conversation this weekend with my buddy Jorge, who I mentioned that he has been, you know, next to me, looking from a side. And he was telling me, like, dude, you need to, I see you that you're up in the cloud. What about the other part? You know, what about the struggles and the conflicts and the situations? And I was like, I hear what you're saying, but in this part of my game, in my movie, I really don't pay attention to those, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't create them, or I don't feel them, because at the end, you know, it everything comes from thought. We're feeling this war or the conflicts that are going right now. If you pick if you choose a side, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it's right or left or blue or red or whatever. By the fact that you are participating in the discussion or you know, whatever it is, you're feeling that you're co-creating that conflict. So mm-hmm. for me, the part of knowing my darkest side, and how I've been able to integrate all of that and just choose, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, that metaphor of the Buddha that, or I think it was Buddha, when they asked him, you have two wolves, you know, and one bad and one good, which one will win in that battle? And I think the master or the Buddha said, whichever you feed more. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like that. Right now, yeah. I can definitely go in a second to my darkest if I choose to. But in this phase of my life, it's right there. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't get exterminated. It's just not needed anymore.
Yeah. You know?
And I always tell this story because, you know, in the process of peeling those armors, I got to the point where the system that I created throughout the years since I was a kid to not be harmed again, that system is, you know, it's perfect. It doesn't have any flaws. So even when you get face-to-face to it and you say, hey, bro, I'm the owner. I'm the one who created this this guard for no one to get in, but I'm the owner, so let me in. And the system will tell you, no, you created me for no one to enter, even you. And that's what, going back to your question about the plant medicine, that's what plant medicine allowed me to do, to override that program, override that code, mm-hmm. to pass that guard. So the guard, it was needed, or the ego was needed, or the, you know, the parts of you that stopped you for becoming the absolute best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. They were made, they were created because you needed to survive mm-hmm. when you were a kid, when you got, you know, that trauma. Mm-hmm. But it comes up a point in your life, and usually it comes after when you're 25, you know, when we develop, you know, our brains and our bodies and everything. After that, they're not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I described those. I took this language from the Landmark Forum. I don't know if you've done Landmark, but they have it in San Diego. I recommend it. It's like it's like the Walmart of personal development, just because it's so cheap and you get good bang for your buck. Like it's super affordable for what you get out of it. I highly recommend anybody to do that. And if you're in San Diego listening to this, if you're law enforcement or firefighters in San Diego County, I believe you get it for free. Wow. I've sent a couple people. Yeah, it's a great organization. They use a term called winning formula, which is that where you're describing like we have these tendencies of who we are that gets us like really good results until it doesn't. And at some point it starts hindering us. Like one of the most common examples is like people pleasers, right? Mm. And we want to be people pleasers. And I believe that comes from our DNA, right? Because if we're in like a tribal culture and we're not agreeable, we're not doing what the tribe wants, you're going to get exiled from the tribe, right? They're going to leave your butt behind when they move or whatever. And so it's part of us to be like, yes, I will do what the tribe says. Like it allows us to stay alive, right? But it's still in a way of survival because we're just staying alive. It's been my experience that when we can understand this ways of coping in life and how they're no longer serving us in a positive way, it's time to change. So, you know, and how that shows up for the people pleasers, oftentimes it gets to a point that they're giving so much that they're like, they've spread themselves thin. So, I'm glad you brought that up because it's so much of who we are is not us. It's what society has told us. It's what our parents has told us, and it works for us until it stops working for us, mm-hmm. you know? And oftentimes that's where people are like, you know, holy shit, what is this feelings? This is not right. This is not what's not working. Thank you for bringing that in. How are you doing with time, brother? I don't know if you got a boogie out.
I'm good.
You're good. Beautiful, man. In your journey, it sounds like in this past few months that you decided to like take this path, a lot more has been unfolding for you, a deeper connection with your wife, the opportunity to say no to work that you were like, you know, kind of searching for earlier. I'd love to understand like today, like what it is that you're working through in your life, you know, and like, you know, you're somebody who I see has accepted the life of healing, the life of living in a higher state of consciousness, of living at a higher vibration. So I imagine that your approach of dealing with your own process is different now, right? So what are you currently working through in your life, and how is your approach with that?
Yeah, I think one of the many stuff that I'm still working on is the perfectionism, right? Getting away from that kind of mentality that you need to be perfect, because that is part of the people pleasing or part of I do such an amazing work, look at me, you know, and accept me for that. So things that I still work on right now is getting away from doing things perfect, but just enjoying the moment, enjoying the process, enjoying what I'm doing right now. Obviously, I'm getting more and more confident of who I am and what I bring to the table, and just feeling comfortable showing my light, you know, that and shining it as bright as I can, because I noticed that as I let my light shine bright, I allow others to do that too. And beautiful. Just like I do it for myself, there were others that did it for me. You know, looking at your journey, looking at your the stuff that you share on social media. We had this conversation before where I was like, bro, I'm super happy for you, you know, that you have changed your life into what it is right now, and that you are more aligned to your life purpose, which is beautiful, you know, serving others and assisting them in their own journey. I think I'm still working on really, really accepting everyone where they are and their part of their journey. It's not easy sometimes. You mentioned earlier your experience as a kid. This is something that I have every day. I go and pick up my son from middle school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a conversation that we have every day. Every day is a different story. You know, somebody told me this. Somebody tried to pick a fight with me. Somebody, you know, did this or that. And I always tell him, you have to understand that they're dealing with a lot of pain. In their house, they don't have, you know, maybe a caring parent, or their parents are dealing with their own demons. And and that is transmitted to their kids. And if they come to you, it's because you're shining that light. And they're like, why is this guy shining his light, right? Let me go and poke him. Let's see what it's all about, you know?
Maybe triggering for some people.
Completely, completely. And also, you know, when you have those experiences, or when I have those kind of experiences, I really look deep into them and say, okay, what is this trying to teach me? No? Before, I used to say, why me? And it transformed to what for?
Yeah. Beautiful. I'd love to hear a little bit about, let me acknowledge you a little bit, man, because, you know, you've mentioned a little bit about your past, about your grandma, about your dad. And, you know, you, I hear you now and your devotion to your family, to your wife, to your son. And it sounds like there's a lot of love in your household, right? So, you know, it's when you're raised in an atmosphere of like fear and pain, it's a whole different environment than growing up in a place of love and empowerment, you know? And that goes a lot to say in what you've done, in your own generation, like how much you've progressed your lineage in just consciousness, in your heart expansion. And as a Mexican man, you know, it's not a road that a lot of us pick, right? It's because like what we're going to talk about our feelings, like that's not what we do, right? We're tough, right? We don't show our emotions. And so yeah, man, I definitely want to acknowledge you for doing the work and really, you know, putting yourself out there. And you know, a lot of it, it's like when we do that, we're vulnerable in a way, right? Because we're putting ourselves out there. But for you, man, in regards to like, you know, we talked a little bit about your journey and the things you're working through. But what is the vision for your life, your family, like going forward? Like what, now that you're in control of this game, like what are you creating with your life, with that nucleus that you have, and that, that you guys are creating this life, this walking your guys' individual paths, alongside one another. How is that for you guys? What are you guys creating? How does that look to have a household that is seeing life in this ways and teaching this to your teenager too, which is, you know, not the easiest age.
No, it's not. And that's also a really humbling process, because now I understand my parents in a way, you know, and I can look back and seeing my son, I go like, I remember what it was for me when I was your age. And I tell him about that. Marcela and I see ourselves as guides to Dante, not the parenting mode that we grew up with. So we see ourselves as guides to him. And everything starts with your home, right? In this, my body is my spacesuit. It's not me, right? So everything starts from here and then it starts radiating out. So Marcela and I, like I mentioned, we have this couples podcast. Mm-hmm. We're in the mix of creating a community where more people can become members, and it will be a space where people can talk openly about their relationships. And obviously, to have a good relationship, you need to be in good terms with yourself. As Armando, the urban alchemist, or Armando, el alquimista urbano, because I'm bilingual, so, you know, I have...
You have twice the work to do.
Right. Twice, and also, you know, the opportunity to connect with more people around the world. Yeah. So, you know, I'm also in the mix of also creating a community. I think I'm going to start a Facebook group first and then transition into a different platform. But basically, our vision and our mission, I was actually, that's the message that I was editing right now, my mission and my vision. And it's just being someone who can be your partner, be somebody who's walking next to you. I'm not here to change anyone's perspective. I'm here to assist you in asking you the right questions for you to discover who you are and what do you want from this life. Why are you here? Why did you decide to come back in this amazing and beautiful time where we're expanding and we're growing and moving from one dimension to the other, right? There's a lot of people who have been waking up in the past 2-3 years with the experience of 2020 and previous experiences or even recently. And there's going to be more and more people that will need somebody to say, hey, it's okay, man. Don't be scared. Just keep following the light. Looking at the light. Don't look at the back, you know, at your past. Look at your present. And through your present, you will create that future that you want. So our projects right now are involving, you know, helping and serving others to find their own path, find their own, you know, their own wisdom. I go back to the we are whole, complete, and resourceful. This is something that this idea was brought to me in the certification from the Jay Shetty School. And I truly believe in that, you know, that we are all capable of doing that, but not everyone wants it, you know. In the first stages of, you know, awakening or becoming more, let's say, conscious about myself. And I go like this because right now I'm reading The Power of Now. Mm-hmm. And I love what there's a part there where it says that it's not that you became conscious. It's just that you're moving in different parts of your unconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until you become conscious that, you know, there's no fooling around anymore. And I do feel that, you know, I've gone through that threshold. And the reason that I don't need any drama and I don't need any situations that hold me back is because I know there's a different way. I know that it's possible to live without them. So now, you know, the work and the journey going forward is allowing others to find that from themselves.
Beautiful, man. Yeah, I can see how much work you've done, right? When you're like, you know, I've done enough in my life. It's time to support, you know, other people in their process. So yeah, thank you so much, Armando, for, you know, sharing your heart, your story in this podcast. You know, a lot of what you share was very relevant to my own journey. So I know it's going to be relevant to a lot of the listeners. Where can people find you? Where can they learn more about your podcast with your wife, your coaching programs, all the things that you're up to? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, thank you, man. And before I share that, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know, you know, I'm a big believer that there's no coincidences, but this is the first time that I have opened up in this way to everyone. Today is the start of this new chapter as Armando the Urban Alchemist, where I come clean and I come openly and I describe exactly, you know, what has been my journey, and I will go deeper into detail of, you know, some of the questions you brought to me today. I will go deeper in my social media. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. I mean, all of them. and even with the podcast, which is in Spanish, the name is Descubriendo Juntos, or Discovering Together. We're in Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok as Armando the Urban Alchemist.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, bro. I don't know, man. I just feel this connection, and I'm so grateful and so humble to have the experience to reach to your audience and to many more. Because actually being vulnerable it's a superpower, you know, it is a superpower. And once you allow yourself to speak your truth, you know, it is your truth. It doesn't mean that others have to believe on them, or to accept your truth or whatever. Once you speak your truth, it is what it is.
Accept that. Yeah. Beautiful, Armando. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You know where to find my brother, Armando the Urban Alchemist. Check out his podcast if you speak Spanish. I've heard some of the clips. It's really fun. I really enjoyed that. One of them was like, what do you want, chicken or pasta? Pasta. Well, I'm going to cook the chicken because it's going bad. So
yeah,
you'll be entertained. You and your wife definitely have a very synergistic energy about you guys, and the love and connection is felt through the interweb. So thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.